you're satisfied. Thank you, Father. You're satisfied my every longing inside. You wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life. Oh, Jesus, you satisfy. Although there are times when nothing seems to go right. You ever been there? Amen. You've always been there to help me get through the night. Whatever I needed, you were right there to provide. Oh, Jesus, you satisfy.
He does satisfy.
You satisfy my every longing inside. You wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry. You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life. Yeah.
God's good. If you're looking for the Lord, you'll find that He is high and lifted up, but He comes close to those broken in heart. If you humble yourself, He'll be there present. The presence of the Lord is near when you humble yourself in the sight of God.
Thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. Why don't we stand again and just love him just a little while here. Hallelujah. His eyes on the sparrow. Now know he watches over me. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Praise God for your goodness in the land of the living. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be in church tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go. Hallelujah. Let's go. Praise God. It was a celebration. It was a big deal to go to church. Praise God. Let it never become anything less than a big deal. Amen. To go to church. Praise God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Amen. Living for God and attending church and enjoying the worship ought to be the priority of your life. Some say it's family first, then God and church and all that. They got their order all mixed up. Praise God. If you want your family in the right spot, make sure God's first and he's last and everything in between. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the way to do it. Exodus 14. Man, I feel so good. God's so good. I feel like singing. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Exodus 14. We're going to begin reading at verse 13. I believe it's 13. No, we're going to read right before that. Verse 8. We'll start at verse 8 in chapter 14 of Exodus and the great word of God on this last day of the year. Interesting that the service falls on the last day of the year. And, you know, in prayer, what can a preacher say the last day of the year this year? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I believe the Lord answered that question. He's probably the one who gave it to me. What would you say on the last day of this year? And then I believe he answered it for me. I'm going to try to pass it on. It's nothing new, but it's something that is more than convenient for this time. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. Amen. I love the word of God. It's just full of nuggets. But the Egyptians pursued after them, regardless of their high hand. When you have a great church service and you feel like you left the service with a high hand, don't be all that shocked if tomorrow the enemies come. Don't say, oh my, I didn't see this coming. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth. Wish they could just name it, you know, Boston and New York. But here they were, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. Everyone say afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Some of those questions sound like Mary talking, like we were saying the other night. Why are you dealing with this way? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone. We're happy being servants and slaves. That we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show. Everyone say, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
God will show up. which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Would you pray right now? Hallelujah. God help us tonight for just a few minutes. Grace, Lord, these lips of clay with, Lord, a little touch of honey from glory. God, let this night end in sweetness for such a bitter year as we have all had. Hallelujah. God, you're not any different, praise God, than you've ever been, regardless of what has happened unto all of us. Bless this moment and this time and every soul listening that's still listening, present or online, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the word. I'm glad God knows where we are. God hasn't forgotten our location. His GPS is not broken. Yours might be, but his is not. You might have lost sight, but he has not. You might have forgotten, but he has not. You might be afraid, but he is not. Told you the other night, God's not afraid to make you upset. Hallelujah. We see something here that is, again, a repeated signature of something we read the other night concerning Joseph and Mary and the Lord when he was the age of 12. We read about two hysterical parents, and we read about a kid who's calm and collective and acts like nothing's wrong. Although he's been missing for 3 days, and mom and dad are worried sick. Mary's probably hysterical. Told you this, just repeating it for the sake of. There's such a similar tone of emotion here, coming from the people, coming from Moses, and one seemingly not coming from God. We are who we are, and God is who God is. And he doesn't look at things the way we look at things. We have meltdowns, and God will not. And we get ticked because he doesn't, and we feel like he should. Not necessarily the topic of this conversation tonight, totally. But again, I want to bring you into this passage of Scripture to feel the emotion. I'm not here to slam the children of Israel against the wall and mock them for their response, because you and I are just like them. That's why the apostles said that these things in the 39 epistles that we have were written for our admonition. They were written for our education, for our learning, for and samples unto us as how the people of God lived, how they acted, how God dealt with them. All of that's true because we serve the same God. Same God on that side of Calvary is the same God on this side of Calvary. God never changed. God did not divide himself into any persons of any deity and become different than the one God he said he always was to the children of Israel. I know that's hard for some to swallow because man's tradition has gone away from God's tradition and has burped up many different doctrines that are just not of God. But nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And this one God is here at a very high emotioned moment. And it's a moment of fear. It probably started off with a little bit of celebration that they were leaving Egypt for the first time, that they went out with a high hand. They went out having spoiled Egypt, actually. Every family, every man and woman gave them things on their way out. They just left with just a lot in their possession, as if they had overthrown Egypt and had just spoiled them. I mean, literally took all of their stuff. So here they are, they're going out into the wilderness, and all of a sudden things just go wrong. Thank you, Jesus. We had a great service last year about this time. Your sister was with us, right? And we worshiped, we had communion, we shouted, we praised the Lord till midnight. We had just an awesome time giving God glory, looking forward to a fantastic year, right? And then the Egyptians came. But notice something that we forget very quickly emotionally. We forget that the presence of the Egyptians didn't change the presence of God. The pillar of fire that was leading them, Brother Mike, amen, was still there. The God that had brought them to that point was still there. The God that caused you to speak with other tongues, worship God, shout on that service night before the start of hashtag 2020 was still the same God on the other side of the hashtag. Hallelujah. And still very much in full control. Now they've got a lot of stuff coming at them. 600 chariots, soldiers, captains. I mean, they've just got like all of the military power of Egypt just going to stomp these 2 million Jews off the face of the earth. But they just didn't kindly know, the verse wasn't written yet for the mic, but it was there in God. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. The enemy don't know that yet, but God has no problem teaching him the lesson. We do. We don't like God being so calm when we are not. Right? Back to the disciples on the boat in the storm. He's asleep on a pillow. They're in perfect hysteria. And they go back there saying, how is it possible that you could be sleeping at such a time like this? Don't you understand we're going to perish? Don't you understand it is what he has been? Where have you been? And when Jesus joins himself again to the two on the road to Emmaus, they're like, are you a stranger in Israel? Have you not known the things that have been going on over the last few days here? Hello, where have you been? Joins himself all calm and collective. So what manner of communication is this that you are having and are so sad? Why are you sad? Why is he asking so many questions and so calm about the question asking? How is it that you sought me? Why are you crying out to me? As if he doesn't know. I mean, Moses felt like he was perfectly justifiable about turning to the Lord and saying, do you see what's going on here? And yet this great God and Savior that we sing about, we talk about, we worship, he just simply replies to old Mo and says, wherefore criest thou to me? I mean, again, it's the same thing. Do you hear the same voice? The same voice here, the same voice in a 12-year-old boy. It's the same God. I didn't say the 12-year-old boy, as far as his flesh was God. I'm saying that God the Father was manifest in the flesh and was there at the temple at the age of 12, talking to doctors and answering those that were caring for that child. I'm not messing up Holy Scripture. We're talking right about Holy Scripture. Praise the Lord. I'm not here to worry about what the world says and their stupid theologies. They can preach their dumbness. We can preach the wisdom of God. Because that's what the Scripture teaches. Side notes. So let's get back to the lesson. I'll try to hurry here. But I'm trying to pass something on to you that I believe the Lord answered to me. What do I say at the end of 2020? And I feel like, I believe, in a spirit of prayer, the Lord said, tell the people to go forward. Hallelujah. I don't have to see forward. I don't have to see how. I just need that word of Him saying, go forward. Praise God. If you can receive this tonight, even if you're watching and listening somewhere in the United States or in the world, and you're overcome by everything that's happened, all you and I need is a word from the Lord, and we know everything's going to be all right. In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of fear, in the midst of not knowing what's next, is it going to get worse from here or better from here? I just need a word from the Almighty God. Praise God. Go forward. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We don't know everything. We don't see everything. We don't know what things God's hands involved in. Sometimes we don't understand how he orchestrates things. I can't blame this whole thing upon him. I don't know. The children of Israel at the time did not know that it was God that was hardening Pharaoh's heart to pursue them. Had they known, they might would have had a few more things to say. Job did not know that it was the Lord and Satan having a conversation on his behalf. If we knew everything, we might slightly disagree with certain things and not understand why. Why is he okay when I'm in jeopardy? Why is he okay with the fact that I don't know what's happening next and I become afraid? So we're reading here. Well, let me just stop here. I'll come back here for a moment, but turn to Psalm 56. This is time to do it. We're going to begin in verse 1. Stick with me a moment. Music will make you feel good, but preaching will save you, as one preacher said. And if we can watch a 2-hour movie, certainly we can listen to 20 minutes of preaching. Or 30 if I go OT. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saying that just to be kind of funny. Psalm 56. Remember the children of Israel. Remember where we left them. One thing I love about that passage, we'll read this in 1 second. One thing I love about reading about moments like Exodus 14 is that God himself, and this is hard for us to comprehend because it seems like we're the only ones going through it. But the truth is, we're not. God's going through it with us. God was there at the brink of the Red Sea, just like Israel was. Well, He was there too. Now, it's okay with him when things look the way that they look. That it's okay that we find ourselves at impossible places, in impossible circumstances. That he's not moved by that, and that we are allowed, and that sometimes, he leads us right into it. Psalm 56, to the chief musician upon this long word, Miktam, or poem of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. It didn't say they took him as a prisoner. It's when he and his mighty man joined himself. They allowed David to become a part of their company while he was fleeing Saul. It was a place for him to hide from the search of King Saul, who wanted him dead. And it was during a time where here he is, he and his mighty men they're sort of going alongside, riding in and out with the army of the Philistines, but we're going to read how David's feeling about all this because the Philistines are not like friends with Israel here. They're enemies. They've fought long and hard for many years. David has killed Goliath. All the Philistines know this. They sang David's praises in Jerusalem. All the Philistines know this. They destroyed many Philistines after Goliath fell to the earth. They all know this. They do not like David, nor his mighty men. And when they go out to battle against Israel in a certain account, in the word of the Lord, they're kind of like, we don't want David going with us because how will we know that he won't turn on us? No trust there. This long word, usually when you read the salutation of a psalm, which is, it's rare, but it's in here, it's usually to the chief musician upon a certain instrument. And then you have this Hebrew word for a stringed instrument, a horn, or a harp. And this case, this particular word is an expression of David. It's kind of like saying Isaiah 53, where Jesus was before, as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. This is sort of what this word is saying, that David was a child of God. He was that innocent dove in the midst of a bunch of enemies. And he's doing his best to keep as quiet as he can when he knows he's in a hornet's nest. Now, this word might have been in connection to a particular instrument that was played to play this poem. But that word in particular is an expression of how he was feeling while in the presence of the Philistines in Gath. He wasn't in any better company than he would have been with Saul. But he's on the run. He's anointed, but he's on the run. He's anointed, but he's going through some trouble. Praise the Lord. He's somewhere he don't want to be. But somewhere he don't want to be didn't change his anointing. No more than life and all of its troubles changes yours. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. At what time, even church people get scared. Even anointed people become afraid. Even praying, spiritual, filled with the power of God, anointed, used of God, people become afraid. David was anointed to be the king, but he's in a hornet's nest and he's not comfortable with where he's got to be. And he's saying, at what time I am in a place of uncertainty, where I'm out of sorts, where I don't feel that anointing, when I don't know what's going to happen next. Am I going to make it or am I not? He, the one who said that I'm being hunted like a flea. This wasn't in the plan. Oh, I can accept killing Goliath and the ladies dancing in the streets with their tambourines, singing songs. David has killed his 10,000. I like that part of the anointing. I like it when everybody likes me. I like it when things are going good. I like it when the year is awesome. I like it when the church service is powerful. It's all this other stuff we just don't like. We start sounding like Israel. Wherefore hast thou? Why didn't you just leave us? I'm sure there might have been times David thought to himself, why didn't he just leave me tending sheep? Why did one of the servants come fetch me out of the field? And why did Samuel pour that anointing over, oil all over me? Why did I ever get saved? You ever hear people say that? I had less problems when I was a sinner. No, you didn't. You had different troubles when you were a sinner. Now you have better problems when you have become converted. Praise God. Because before you served Pharaoh, now he's chasing you. Would you rather serve him or him chase you? Praise God. Yeah, I know church people talk funny. What time I am afraid. David said I'm making a choice because he was afraid. What time I am unsure. What time I feel like I'm in jeopardy. I will trust in you. He's saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn around. I am going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust some way, somehow, God is going to see us through. God is going to take us through this. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I'm going to make it through the valley because I will trust in you. I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord. I'm finishing. Thank you, Jesus. Please hear this tonight. I know it's a repeat to a degree. But what can I say at the end of 2020? Can I say, oh God, everything, okay, sound like one of those, you know, end of the world people. I hate talking to people like that or even listening to them. Everything's bad. I know the world's going to end, but I'll leave that with God. Well, I'm going to have a good time until it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every little thing shows up on the radars. Oh my God, this is the end. This is the hand of God. Maybe, maybe not. If you're not converted, you better hope not. Verse 4. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now it's easy to read these Psalms and read all these wonderful words when everything is all right. It's another thing to have to live them and go through them where they're being squeezed out of your soul by the pressure cooker of life. When things have happened to you, when the bottom is dropped underneath, when you've fallen and hit in your head, when right everything is just gone crazy. Look, I could care less about all the conspiracy theories of this year. Every one of us can have them, and to some degree, we can all be right. But somewhere, some way, somehow, peel yourself away enough to say, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. It is better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Is that what the Scripture teaches us? Praise God. So let's go back and finish here in Exodus. I wanted to read these words because I wanted to... This is pretty much the message here that I'm trying to share with you. Don't be afraid. Go forward. There are a lot of things that are out of our control, and I'm not trying to sound anti-anything. Anybody can think anything they want, but realistically, at the end of the day, things are what they are, whether there's people taking advantage of this hour for profit or not. It makes no difference whatsoever. We don't like it. Shame on them if they are. And God reward them according to their deeds. But where do we go from here? Praise God. What's at the end of the day, what's the message? What do we have to hold on to? What do we need to glean? What do we need to do? And the answer is, go forward from here. Go forward. Don't not go forward. Go forward. Don't be afraid. In other words, don't succumb to fear. Don't succumb to the panic. Don't succumb to the uncertainty. Go forward. Because there is a forward to go forward to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Bradley said it tonight. This is the day that the Lord has made. I could see it clearly in what you were saying. It's not necessarily this physical day, but we've got a day of the Lord that we've entered into. And when we've been converted into, we've been baptized into, it's a day that will never end. And when we close our eyes to this life, it doesn't mean the day of the Lord is over. It just means that this time for us is over, but not God's day. And that's why in the midst of any evil time we find ourselves in, we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm finishing. Thank you for listening. Hallelujah. Such a good passage of Scripture and so many wonderful things. We'll pick up in 9 again, I believe. Real quick here. So the Egyptians are pursuing after them. And all of their horses and chariots and horsemen and army. And they overtook them. Have you ever just felt like life has overtaken you? You know, we sing the song, Shut In With God in the Secret Place. But you ever feel like life has shut you in? You can't, there's no direction. You're just stuck. There's an answer for stuck. When you feel stuck, when you feel like life has halted you, when you feel like you've got no more strength in your being to go forward, to go on. At that moment, you've got to make a choice, a decision. At what time I am, whatever, I will trust. See, just that scripture verse in Psalm 56 and verse 3, just that alone suggests that there's a direction change. At what time I am, right, being overtaken. I'm looking at all the army marching after me. I'm looking at all the circumstances that haven't gone my way that are against me. Right? Isn't that what Jacob said in Genesis? All the stuff that was happening. He said, all these things are against me. And they weren't. They were for him. And that's the thing. You might think Pharaoh and his army are against you, but God's way of seeing things, he says, no, they're for you. This common collective deity we serve. Couldn't he just get frantic for like 5 microseconds with us? Couldn't he just feel the jeopardy and just say, oh my God, what am I going to do just for 1 minute? No, he can't. Doesn't the scripture say that all of these things work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, right? For our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us. Isn't that amazing that Pharaoh and his army were working for Israel? Listen, they were no longer the servants. Pharaoh and his army were. They couldn't see that, but God did. God can take everything that's against you and make it work for you. And cause your deliverance. Hallelujah. Look, we preach, we teach, we sing, we shout, we worship, we testify that God's got it in control. That God's in control. But then when we see Pharaoh, all of a sudden he's out of control. Isn't it the truth? And our tone changes. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Thank you, Jesus. And we just have a good time. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. And we stop singing. And we start crying out. Don't you care? And when the children of Israel saw Pharaoh draw nigh, they lifted up their eyes, or when the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, they were marching after them. Verse 10, and they said unto Moses, we hate you. We hate you. We told you to let us alone. Don't preach to us. Already forgetting all those miracles, how God ransacked Egypt. I mean, he brought Egypt to its knees, but all of a sudden, here's Egypt saying, we didn't like what you just did to us. As if somehow God has left the scene and unable to take them forward. We forget so quickly. We really do. We can go to church one night and be in the toilet the next morning. And all of a sudden, all the miracles, all the wonders, all of a sudden, there's a new situation that shows up, and God has gone powerless. So in conclusion, verse 13 and through 15, one more time. Moses' reaction. We know the people of Israel's reaction. They just went hysterical. Now, remember, 10 plagues slew all the firstborn of Egypt. They had the Passover meal together. No doubt they heard the cries of the firstborn being slain throughout all of Egypt. All of that they came out with a high hand. Praise God. Look, I'm not here to criticize them because we are just like them. But what I am here to say on this side of Calvary, at least, we've got some, if you've lived for God for any span of time, you've got some experience and you've got power to be able to change the direction of your eyes from lifting up your eyes and seeing Pharaoh marching after you to lift your eyes just a little bit higher than them and look to the hills Amen. From whence cometh your help? Praise the Lord, because there is an answer that's higher than your problem. And it's always going to be higher than your problem. And when you don't know what to do, God always knows what to do. When you fail to have strength to carry on, God's got plenty of strength to help you carry on. Hallelujah. Amen? So Moses now, as the preacher. I've said this before, I'm going to repeat it tonight. Not because I'm trying to change scripture or to obliterate a great scripture. We're always going to love verse 13. Thank you for listening. I meant to be a little shorter, but Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Why? Because they were afraid. Stand still. They didn't want to stand still. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Be still. Isn't that what the other prophet wrote? Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we do. We just have to be still. And this is what Moses was trying to do as a man of God. Why? Because he knew God was up to something. And he knew God had brought them this far and was not going to fail them. Why he brought them to this particular place, to this spot where they were boxed in, they can't do a single thing to save themselves. He had no idea, but he trusted God. He knew somewhere God was going to answer. And so he's relaying his trust towards God. He's not saying the same thing the children of Israel say. He's saying something different from a different spirit and from a different attitude. He knows. Moses can see too. He knows the Egyptians are marching after them. Remember, the presence of God is there. The pillar of fire is there. God hasn't gone anywhere. God has not vacated your life just because COVID hit us. And chaos has hit us. And riots have hit us. And death has hit us. God hasn't gone anywhere. Listen, Carol and I have already listened to people just because of certain circumstances. And I get it. And I'm not mocking anybody. But we've heard people expressing how they're angry with God. Why? Certain people have passed away. And I'm upset, and I just don't get why God. Well, look, number one, you don't say that to the thousands upon thousands that die every day. But when it's somebody you love dies, then you say it. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised everlasting life in these bodies. And it hurts, I know, I understand. But wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be better if instead of blaming God, getting angry with God, I'm not going to church because this person died, and acting like you're just giving up, wouldn't it be better to cry out unto God, call upon God? Wouldn't it be better to lift up your eyes just beyond the grief, beyond the sorrow, and reach for something that can help you during your time of sorrow? Praise God. It's kind of like going back to Saul's daughter, David's first wife, when she couldn't understand why he was worshiping in the street and dancing in front of the ark. She had her eyes on the wrong thing. Look, get your eyes off of Pharaoh and his army and get your eyes on that pillar of fire. What's the pillar of fire going to do? Praise God. I know it's been a rough year, but what's God going to do? Praise the Lord. We've lost some things, but what's God going to do? Don't go to church less. Go to church more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Trust Him more. Love Him more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. So this is what Moses is saying. What he's trying to do is calm the people down. Relax. And the Lord says, why are you crying to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So it was God's reaction now to Moses' reaction, to the people's reaction. Let's all stand. Promise to quit, so I'm going to tell the truth. But you lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. God's got a way out. And the answer for you to dwell on is simply go forward. And God will show you where the forward is. He'll make the forward. He'll create it for you. Just lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Praise God. That's the answer. Fear not and go forward. Amen. Let's love the Lord one more time. Hallelujah.
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 Right where you are, God will meet you where you are. Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. You're not alone. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you tonight for being a great God and a great Savior. Hallelujah.